Hello, happy website owners and webmasters and folks interested in online marketing and all kinds of things for today. Welcome to the relaunch of the Blogaid Live interview series. And today we're going to be talking about the power of in-person videos that are just like these. And I've got a very special guest for you today. I'm so excited to have Denise Wakeman with me for my first guest on this. Hi, Denise. How you doing?
I'm good. I wish I wasn't so blurry, but you know, I can't really do anything about my bandwidth today, but I'm happy to be here.
Well, now you're in LA and there's probably a lot of internet traffic going on there, and it's probably being taxed to its limit because, you know, the internet can only handle so much. It's a bunch of hubs and wires. So we'll go with it. But for those of you who may not know, if you've been living under a rock and you don't know who Denise is, let me introduce her for you. After a life-changing trek in the Peruvian Andes, Denise Wakeman embraced her inner adventurer and ditched the black business suits for a knapsack and hiking boots, happy to work wherever there's Wi-Fi. And for more than 20 years, she's been helping authors and online entrepreneurs experiment, master, and embrace the adventure of growing their business and online visibility with digital marketing. And Denise, I think that just sums you up perfectly, because it's your adventuresome spirit is why you're the perfect first guest today, right?
Well, I am adventuresome. So, you know, I had to work on that a while to like be able to publish and bring that out in what I'm doing, because that's what I've been doing my whole time online for the last 20 some years. So, yeah.
And I'm really glad, because you try all kinds of things, including video. I mean, the minute it became available, boom, you know, Denise was there. And we're going to get into that in a minute. But we had a surprise that I want to bring in here today. This is a post that actually just came out from Social Media Today, and it's the state of video marketing in 2020. And I want to talk about this a little bit. We're not going to go in deep. I'll put the link in for you a little later. But, or you could just go over Social Media Today. It's probably right there. But this is the video marketing overview, because Denise, the power of it just keeps growing. And this is where we are now. 85% of businesses use video marketing and 92% think it's important to do that. And they said it gets them over the noise. 92% says it gets them above the noise. 59% of folks that are not doing it yet are about to jump in. That's how important. So all these businesses are putting money behind it, because 54% of consumers are preferring video now. This is the way that they want to consume video. Now I'm going to jump past this B2B thing, because I want to get down here to another statistic. This is just online consumption. By 2022, which we're what, 6-7 months away, that will account for 82% of all internet traffic. That is huge. That's, I mean, just that number alone, Denise, is mind-blowing, you know? So let's talk about, I'm going to pull this down just a little bit here for myself to get it out of my frame. Let's talk about what in-person videos are. So let's throw out some examples. You go first.
Well, this is an in-person show.
Yep.
Right now, this is live and it's in person. It's the way I interpret in-person video is anything that where it is you having a conversation with your audience, and it can be live like this, or it could be recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe talking head, or you taking somebody on a journey with you through video.
Right. And you know, we're going to talk about this, because the only way to do this when you started with it was by phone, right?
Well, no.
Okay.
I brought some props with me.
Okay.
I did my first video in 2005, and that was with a big camcorder that somebody used to, and then, you know, but it was a digital camcorder or whatever. So, I mean, I don't even remember. It wasn't my camera, but my first video. Terrible. It's a little Nikon camera, and it had a video option on it too. And then we went to the flip
video. I've still got mine. I remember that.
This is my second flip video. I gave the first original one to my nephew when he was younger. And then I went to and got the Kodak Z8 video camera. So these were just little super easy video cameras. And now, a couple days ago, I just bought a brand new phone. It's the Samsung S10. And you know, I mean, I've been using a phone for video for years now. I don't even remember when it started. So mm-hmm. I've gone through a lot of pieces of equipment.
I forgot all about the flip. I forgot all about doing it with camera and flip. I've still got my flip somewhere too. And
right,
I'm so glad for the props.
Yeah, so easy because you could just flip out a little like USB and plug it into your gigantic computer and, you know, download the video, right? And
right.
That was mind-blowing that it was so easy.
Right. Now, one of the things that's changed with this is all the apps and everything for phones so that you can go live with people in the moment, but you can also record something. You can do quite a bit of editing on your phone and upload it for later too, right?
Absolutely. I will confess that I don't do a lot of live video at this point, unless I'm doing it on my desktop, mm-hmm. because I just don't feel like I'm that content doing live video on my camera, on my phone. They always look kind of crazy, but there's a place for them.
Well, I remember you going on your adventures and taking us with you. You know, you would go through the airport and different things and whatever, and you took us, and that was really fun.
Yeah, and that's a good context. That's the context I use them. So if I'm going on to Facebook Live, like I'm on my desktop, I'm using a webcam, mm-hmm. using my headset, using my phone. I could do that if I wanted to, but I really prefer the desktop experience because that's where I'm sitting all day long. But definitely when I travel, this mm-hmm. is my tool. This is my mm-hmm. tool for sure. And I'm not big on editing, although I know lots of people who are, and I really admire their edit apps because there are a lot of great apps that help you do that. I mean, I like that I can trim off, and awkward stuff of, you know, pushing the button and that kind of thing, you know, that can get trimmed off. So, I mean, it's really amazing the technology we have these days.
Yeah, the editors have gone bonkers for desktop, for on YouTube itself, on Facebook mm-hmm. itself, on the app that you've got. So, you know, editing, it doesn't take very long. There were people who just cover that very thing and take you through how to do that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then you can have all kinds of markup on it, especially on your phone and whatever. So, exactly. You know, that's a big deal with that. And I remember when you went from your phone to your camera, because I think I came into it at that point and I just hated doing it on phone. I got a lavalier mic and whatever, you know, mm-hmm. and you just couldn't get the audio quality. I'd have a stand, you know, it would get crazy and whatever. And so I remember how thrilled we all were when it came to desktop. And we all went out and got our Logitech C920, which is still the standard. If you can still find it, it's still the standard for it. And things really changed because we could have sit-down controlled in our environment control, in our audio control. And, you know, we both, if y'all notice, we both have on the same mic. For this, which they don't make anymore, but there are others, you know, that you can get, and you had the quality, I believe, came up. But let's talk about that with the difference in the quality and stuff too, because people have become so accustomed to seeing live video on phone that the bar has really been lowered for your entry-level people to get into it, because it doesn't have to be polished anymore, does it?
Right. Yeah, there's different kinds of videos that you can create. And so you want to think about the purpose of the video. Mm-hmm. You're looking at what tool to use. So shoot on your phone in the moment, real time, capturing something that's happening, you know, in front of you, around you, or a story you want to tell mm-hmm. about what you're doing in that moment. That's perfect for your phone. Your audience isn't going to be expecting you to have, you know, the set and the lighting, and, you know, of course you want to try to have good light on yourself, but you can do that with sunshine. But the thing is that, you know, maybe for your homepage video, you want something a little better produced. You're, you know, putting out your professional brand. But if you, when, or I should say, and when you are out and about, and if you've got a story to tell, you've thought about a tip that you want to share that you just did, put it on your phone. Because doing that in the moment, whether you're doing it live on Facebook, or you're uploading it to Facebook or to Instagram or to LinkedIn or to YouTube, every single platform you can put video on now, that share in the moment, authentic person who you are, and they want to speak to you as a person, not a brand, that really helps build that connection and that relationship, and, you know, moving into the know, like, trust factor with that. So you can really accelerate that by doing
really can.
Non-produced videos.
I got totally inspired and hooked on doing videos regularly by Jay Bayer. He did a Jay Today, and wherever he was, because he goes all over the country speaking, he does a lot of business to business, B2B things. Mm-hmm. And whatever came up in topic and conversation, he said, there's a tip. And he would just sit down right where he was with his phone and tell us about that, because it has a vibe to it when it's live like that. And some oomph and things that are topical and trending and happening right that moment, and questions that people have right that second. And they're really short. You know, he would keep it at 4 or 5 minutes singularly on that topic, and they were very powerful. So you don't have to have this huge rehearsed thing. It's just, you kind of have to get over talking to nobody, you know, and looking at the camera instead of looking down here at your screen for the other person. You know, that was a big thing back then too. But the cameras on phones have come so far that you can really get a nice shot in just about any kind of environment and stuff too. And the mic is pretty reasonable for that too. And even if you just record it and upload it later, that's really powerful what you can do with that in the moment stuff.
Yeah, it really helps to make a connection that with viewer, because they can see that you are just, like, you want to share something that's really important or that can be very to them in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about just a little bit about Blab, because back in the day when I first started, when you had to have a coder to have a site, all I had to do was open my mouth and say what I did, and I had business. And Blab did the same thing for me, that because it's so powerful, it's so authentic, it's so genuine, that if you're doing things like this and they're live and people are asking questions, you either have the answer or you don't. You either BS people or you don't, or whatever it is. But that's one of the powers of it, is being very genuine like that. And my business exploded because of it. Now, yours did too, with the visibility of something like that. So how important is it now to consider doing live streams on things like Facebook? Because you can do that from your phone, YouTube and TikTok and some of these others. You can do all these from your phone. You can do some of them from your desktop. You don't have to have a fancy setup like this. How important is that now?
I think it's still important to do that. And I also acknowledge that there are plenty of people who are want to do live video. You know, for reason, I couldn't begin to figure out what all the reasons are. But live video does require you to be kind of fast on your feet. You know, it's real, it's raw, it's authentic. And I would say that if you're an expert in what you're doing, you know what your business is, right? You know how it works, you know how it serves people, then, you know, go for it and do it. If you're more comfortable rehearsing, or not rehearsing, but going off notes or whatever, you know, you can also record a video. The thing is that when you can respond to people in real time, that it can be very powerful. but it's not the only way. And I hardly want to say that because I personally don't like, here I am, we're on Facebook Live, and I don't like Facebook Live. But
that's okay. We're going to be on YouTube and on my site and all other kind of places too. Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is that you can do live video not on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, I have a private group for intermittent fasting, and we meet 3 times a month live on video.
Mm-hmm.
We tried it on Facebook Live, and it didn't give us the kind of interaction we wanted. So we immediately stopped after like 2 or 3 times, where it was just like it didn't feel right, because we wanted to communicate with our members. So we do it on Zoom.
Yes.
That is live video. We're all on, you know, like, you know, 8 people. I mean, I just got off one, you know, right before this. And, you know, Zoom is a live video chat. Mm-hmm. It's just not broadcast, although you can. You can integrate it with Facebook Live. I haven't done that.
On the free version, you can. And on the paid version, you know, they give you a little more. Now, I did try that. If y'all are looking at this gorgeous setup, I wouldn't try this first off. This is not the first kind of setup you do, but I've been live streaming for years, and I've just built on it and built on it and built on it and built on it and learn one thing and do better and learn something else. And so I've been using Zoom for years. I was using WebEx or whatever, one of those for
go to
meeting and whatever. I was using that and switched over to Zoom for my client meetings and for the meetings with my peeps and my member sites and that kind of thing, so we could have a group meeting. And now Zoom has, you know, gone through the roof. The visibility with it has gone through the roof, and now you see even on TV, it's people doing just what we're doing here. They're just transmitting from their home, and it's on their webcam and with the earbud in and whatever, and that's on national television. It's perfectly okay to be doing this now. As a matter of fact, we wouldn't have any national television if this weren't the case, you know, if they didn't find a way to make that go. And they're using Cisco, you know, for it, but still, the quality is good enough, and Zoom is great. And maybe that's a good way for you to meet with friends or buddies or whatever, because there's a free version of Zoom, and if you're meeting one-on-one, it's free. For as long, you know, as many hours as you wanted. If you do a group thing or whatever, I think it's 45 minutes on that. I'm on the paid version, so I can have it integrate with my calendar for my clients to book and that kind of thing. Now, I did try that for streaming to Facebook, because I don't like any of the ways that natively integrate with Facebook. A lot of people are having great success with it, but I wanted all this branding. Because I could, and I wanted all this. And I tried to find a way to do it with Zoom. Zoom has changed recently. It's not working all that well. And I said, I need to keep moving along. I also use vMix. If you're here on Tuesday nights, you see me do a live stream with a green screen behind me. And I have all kinds of nice things behind me where I can show tips Tuesday while I'm talking about it. I'm sitting in front of it like a newscaster, you know. vMix allows me to do that. Well, they have a thing called vMix Call. It's very expensive, but it allows me to do this. It looks as expensive as it is. That's my level. I don't want anybody to be intimidated by this at all in any way. You start from wherever you are. I did. Denise did. Everybody does. Don't compare yourself to anybody. Have fun. Right, Denise?
Yeah, I would say that it's important to do as much as you can that you feel comfortable with. So, like, you produce these great videos every week. You're live, and that works really for you. Me, kind of lazy, so in a way, not totally. But, you know, I go for a little bit different style of video. Mm-hmm. So I mostly use Zoom for my videos because I prefer that kind of interaction with people. So, you know, I'm not reporting on something typically when I'm using video. I'm having a conversation with people. Mm-hmm. I might be doing a little bit of teaching and Q&A, that kind of thing. So I want to have that face-to-face as close as we can get it. The point is, you find your comfort level, you know, try things out until you, and find what you, what you'll actually do. That's what I want. Is, you know, if you just look at what man is doing, you go, I could never do that. I mean, that some people might be thinking that I could never do that, so therefore I'm never going to do video.
I really don't want people to do that at all. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't have to be elaborate and whatever. Not even close.
Yeah.
So another thing that I did for in-person video that's not live, for my Heartwood art, for my carvings and whatever, I planned every piece of content I put out is going to have a video with it. I planned for that. That was from the get-go. And so I do an in-person intro and exit. And it takes me a few minutes to say, I get in my overalls and whatever, hey, this Mayanna, we're going to talk about such and such a day, you know, and let's jump into it. And then at the end, it's like, I hope you enjoyed this video. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. But I'm not always in that video because I can't build the thing and them necessarily see me, you know, or whatever. So this puts a face and a personality and with who's delivering that. So even if you do, and you can shoot that on your phone easily. I've got a DSLR camera that I decided to do because I am standing so far back from it. But just even that, it's the power of being you in front of talking to somebody, right?
Yeah. Thing is that you can do videos like that without being live. Like you're, I know your heart, those aren't live, right?
Right.
I mean, they're not being streamed live, I should say.
No.
So that's a recorded video, and just to make between live streaming, which we're doing right now, and video, which you upload afterwards, and they can be equally powerful. It's about sharing who you are and what you're doing to serve people. That's really what it comes down to. So whether you record it because that's more comfortable to you, or it's live streaming because that's who you are and you love that, you know, live interaction.
Right.
You find what works for you best. I prefer personally recorded videos more because then I can, you know, energy, time, and all that kind of thing.
Because a lot of these I do in the middle of the night. I mean, you know, it could be 8, 9, 10 o'clock. It's not good for live streaming or whatever. I mean, it's a recording. Right. I can do it anytime I want to. Now, there is another one for my DIY craft people and whatever. You know, they have these overhead mounts. So you can be making something and talking and people watching you make those things. But what I'd like to invite you to, and those are great, and they're very eye-catching on places like Pinterest or social media or whatever. That's in person. In a way, it's not a talking head, but it's in person. And you could, if you wanted to, just make a little intro. Because they're not live. You are going to produce this. And maybe turn the phone around and say, hey, I'm going to show you how to make this thing. And hold it up if you wanted to, but you don't have to. So that's an in-person. But let's go back to one other thing. Speaking of DIY, crafting things and whatever. Maybe taking us on a trip with you to the craft store and why, you know, you're there picking up this, that, or other. Let's talk about Slice of Life, because Denise, you did that with some of your trips.
Yeah, Slice of Life people really like. Now, I would, here's my my business advice around that. If you are doing Slice of Life that is, you know, part of your business, so you're a crafter, you're teaching people how to do that, you're one of my businesses as a travel agent, so that's also something that I want to do, or, you know, I want to take people on a trip with me. You want to be aware and mindful of making sure it's valuable, what you're sharing is valuable, to be just blah, blah, for the heck of it, because people will get bored with that very fast. So, you know, it doesn't take much to think, how can I make sure that this is of service or value to someone? So if you're taking someone to the craft shop, you can, you know, be talking about why you're doing what you're choosing, or how that's going to be part of something that you're creating, you know, the pros and cons of it. So I would caution people of just doing blah, blah, you know, unless it's, you know, I don't know what, I don't want to call that something else, so I'll just stick with blah, blah.
Well, fluff, you know, filler stuff,
Yeah, because you'll lose your audience pretty quickly if you do that. So just be mindful of that, please.
Well, I have some peeps who follow me that flip furniture, you know, and flip, repurpose, and that sort of thing. And I said, take me to the flea market with you and tell me why you're picking out this thing, what the potential is you see in there, what could be done, even if you're not buying it, because that helps me learn and understand. And you don't have the camera on you. You might have the camera on you for a minute and then, you know, flip it around or click the thing on your phone to flip it around and show me the stuff, you know, and that kind of thing. I guess I don't know about things like that in public where if you're going to be showing it online and their faces are on it, but at public events like a flea market and whatever, there's probably no degree of privacy anyway, you know.
No,
so I don't know if there's
I
any issue
about
with that,
that.
But yeah, so I know we'll have some legal people in here asking about it, and we will get to your questions in just a minute, but I want to look over here because we haven't even looked at our notes of things we thought about covering today, because we just chat, you know, and that's a great thing. So I want to talk about teaching and what the, because you've said several times about meeting with a group and how that is and whatever, and I know you run several classes. Sometimes you just run a limited little challenge. It's not a formal class that sits out there all the time or whatever. It's a little challenge, so everybody goes for a few weeks meeting live, and you have all kinds of things like that. So tell us about teaching classes back in the day of teleseminars compared to what you're doing now and how much it's changed for you to be able to have video.
Well, okay, yeah, teleseminars. I started doing teleseminars in 1998, maybe. 97, 98, we had bridge lines that, you know, you could get 30 lines and it would cost you 30, 40, 50 bucks to rent it for an hour. So you were renting them from people. But that was amazing, you know, at that time that you could get on a phone call with 30 people and teach. You taught by voice only. So there wasn't any of this, you know, eye contact, body parts moving fast. I shouldn't be doing that so much because it doesn't work that well on video. But that's how you would do one-on-one coaching, consulting over distance when you weren't in person with somebody. It was all on the phone. Well, when things like live video came up, so you couldn't even really do it on GoToMeeting. You know, I mean, that came up later that there could be like a little corner shot of you, you know, of your face up in the corner. But for me, it was with Zoom that I switched over to video training via video, I should say, because I was and of course, when Zoom took off in the last couple of months, I was like, how long have I been using Zoom anyway? Because it was so funny that, you know, even like my 3-year-old mother's like, oh yeah, should we have a Zoom call?
Okay. I love that.
But so I looked it up and I've been using Zoom for 5 years. And I loved it from the start because I really liked being able to have even virtual eye contact with people.
Well, you do a lot of coaching and consulting.
Yeah. So I did a lot of my one-on-ones. I do them all on Zoom now. I for a while gave people a choice, phone or video, and some people would pick phone, but now I don't even, I just like, here's the Zoom link.
well, because they don't have to turn on the camera if they don't want to, even on Zoom. So
Yeah. But also, I just, when you do, I mean, it's a completely different experience to actually have that visual and the, you know, body language and the facial expressions. It really, to me, changed the game. And I felt so much closer to the people that I was having video calls with. I loved it, you know, and so that's how I teach now, because you can, like you did at the beginning, you were showing your screen, I can show slides. So I can come on, you know, first like this, then say, okay, now we're going to the slides, give my little spiel, teach whatever I'm teaching at that moment, and then come back to all the beautiful faces.
Right.
And have that, you know, conversation.
So. Well, let's talk about for your clients, especially, and you keeping in touch, you fractured your right hand, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a few years ago.
Typing wasn't practical at that time. So how did you use video to keep in touch with your clients?
Yes, well, that's when I started using Loom video, which is a free video. I mean, they have fee now too, but you can use it for free. I still have the free version. Free Loom video, there's a bunch of them out there that are like that. I can't, you know, the names of them are, I just stick with Loom. But anyway, so yeah, I would, I could click with a mouse. I trained my left hand to be able to click with a mouse, and I could turn on the video and talk my emails, because I could integrate it with, I could put the link to the video in the email. I also discovered voice to type. So I, you know, another easy way. So I would just talk my emails sometimes too, and they came out, you know, very well on typing. So it was just like, oh, okay. You know, no missed beats there, you know.
Right. And if you're looking at prospects and whatever, sometimes that in-person acknowledgement of, hey, I've got your thing and your energy and whatever of, you know, in-person video through something like Loom could be a big deal. Now, I do want to kind of, oh, go ahead. I'll let you respond to that.
I was just
going to
say that sending someone a personal video via email, and Loom allows you to do that. It integrates with Gmail if you want it to. And there's others that also do that. But when you send somebody a personal email and you say their name, because you want to make sure that they know that you're talking to them and not to a group of people, because that's how people are like, I thought that was just a group thing, and then you said my name. You know, it's like, you blow people away when you do that.
Right. It's personal. It's authentic. It's
super
engaging.
Super personal. Yeah.
Right. It makes a difference that you took the time to show up for them.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. I highly recommend trying that.
Let's switch gears.
Okay.
Denise, you're a visibility expert. You have post after post after, and you've been talking about this for years. You still talk about it because the need for this does not change. Visibility.
Yes.
One little piece of content. Tell us what we can do with our videos.
Videos are the most flexible piece of content that you could, that you can use. When you create a video, that one video can be repurposed into multiple pieces of content. It's really the ideal. So if you're going to create a piece of content, consider creating a video first, because after that you can put that video in any number of places. You can chop it up to make multiple videos. You can use a clip of a video as like a trailer or a teaser for the longer video. I will often do that. You can use the audio from the video to create a podcast. You can transcribe the video, audio of the video, and use that for your content, your blog post. You can use, I mean, I will often, with one of my clients that I've been working with recently, my dentist, as a matter of fact, he's one of the top dental implant dentists. He teaches other dentists how to do dental implants, but he really likes video. So we have this whole batch of videos that he created. They're about 4 or 5 minutes, and they're answering one question.
Cool.
And then, yeah. Then he gets it transcribed, and then that video goes on YouTube. I take the transcription and I make a description out of it for him, because he's busy. So I'm helping him with this. I'll just pull out and create a description, pull out the keywords, and then that goes on YouTube. Then it goes on Facebook. The native video goes on Facebook. I don't put the YouTube video on Facebook. Right. He doesn't use LinkedIn really so much, because that's not his market. His market is people, you know, on Facebook, basically, who need dental implant dentist. Then we take that that content. It can be tweets, but then we also post the video on his blog with the transcript cleaned up, because
yes,
the transcript always needs to be edited. Always.
Yes.
Always. Because how we speak and how we read written content are very different. So you can hear, I could be saying all kinds of ums and ahs and stuff, and you might even not even notice them. But when you read that, ooh, yeah. Not good. So I do an edit of his, it's like maybe 800 words. Clean it up for readability, video, transcript, call to action.
Right. There you go. And being focused like that on one thing, that's so good for putting that content on your site, because people are looking for an answer to that one
that's
thing,
right.
And you just answered it. And you could use that on Quora. You could use that in a lot of different places, because that's what search is all about, answering people's questions, helping them solve their problems. So, yeah. And if they can see somebody talking about it, all the better, because that endears trust.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he's very passionate about his work. And and so it's a good mix. It's a good match for him.
Right.
And
now, let's talk about time.
We've been doing that a long time.
Time for
time.
All of this, because... time is really a precious commodity with some of us. And so it doesn't take very long to rip out the audio for a podcast, right?
No.
That's easy. I mean, that's probably the simplest thing you will ever do. It doesn't take long to upload to YouTube, right?
Nope.
Doesn't take long to upload
or LinkedIn or Twitter.
And you do want to do that instead of the YouTube thing, because you get whale of a lot more reach if you put the original uploaded to Facebook and these other places instead of the YouTube link. So it doesn't take out. Now, the transcribing, you can hire that out if you need to, right?
Oh, yeah. My go-to transcription service is Rev, R-E-V.com, Rev.com. It's worth it to me, because they do like 99%. Good job. I mean, I rarely have to do much editing on those.
And they turn it around pretty quick too, right?
Oh yeah. Like less than 24 hours usually, especially if you're doing a 3 to 5 minute video, which is really where you want to keep it for something like that.
Yeah.
If you answer one question, it's not going to take an hour.
Right.
An interview might be an hour, right?
For some of us.
Okay. Well,
you know how deep I go. I have a problem pulling back. You know, somebody told me I need to teach a course on this setup and whatever for things. And I said, I think I've got enough information for a blog post. And they said, Mayanna, one of your posts is enough for a full course. It's that packed. So, you know, yeah. But it really doesn't take much time to have all of this other content that you're going to get more eyeballs on from all these different places. Plus, if once you do have it transcribed or you do it yourself, then you've got tweets, you've got things to promote. But you can keep going past that with these trailers. You just narrow it down to that and whatever, and just kind of start the process over again to keep promoting it, right?
Yeah. I have things dripping out for like a year. So one of the tools that I really like is called Headliner. And that you can match up the audio with an image or a video, but you can, I'll take an, okay, how do I want to say this? When I do like a free call to my community, let's say, I might find, 3 minutes of something that's like pithy, or, it's like, okay, there's a really good tip in there. So I'll take that piece of the audio and just put one slide behind it. So it's a just like a trailer thing. It's not, you don't need me as a talking head. It's just my picture and the call to action of where to get the full thing. So I just pull out that, and I use a free tool, Audacity, to pull out take that clip out of the audio, put that into the Headliner with a video, with an image behind it. And now I've got a completely different kind of video that I can also put on YouTube and Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and Instagram.
Now, there are all kinds of apps out there for helping you with your video. And I see some questions over here. We are going to get to them. So if you have them, go ahead and throw them in, because we do want to answer. That's the fun of being live, is answering some questions here. And if you're watching this on replay in Facebook, go ahead. Let us know that you're watching in replay and you have questions too. So Deborah's asking, what is the best film editor that is easy to use and is also inexpensive? Well, let's start with what your computer comes with. So both Windows and Mac have video type editing software, and they're actually pretty powerful. They're a great place to start. So you can upload something from your phone or your webcam or whatever it is and do your editing right there. Now, I do, as y'all know probably, I do a lot of video tutorials that are screen share type things. So I got Camtasia because it's great for recording the screen, but I also use it for editing. Everything is fantastic for that. So I think those are the Camtasia doesn't cost so much. And what was the other one? Screencast-O-Matic. I think it has an editor in it too. And is it free? Denise, do you know? Do you
Oh, I
remember?
haven't used that in a long time.
Okay.
But a lot of these online tools do have simple editors in them. So, for example, if I'm editing like Loom, if I do a video on Loom that's a personal video or a screencast, because I use them for tutorials, screencast tutorials, I use Loom. Usually, there's some at the beginning, at the end that I don't want. The rest, I let it be, because I'm about getting it out. So, but I can trim the ends. I mean, it's a simple editor, and I trim the ends, and that's going
There
to
you
make it
go.
look a little bit better than if you have, me, trying to turn something off, right? You don't want to see that. That's a waste of time and space and your attention. So, at the very minimum, use a built-in tool. Just to trim the ends to make sure you've got a nice clean start and a nice clean stop.
Yeah, YouTube has an editor, Facebook has an editor, so get to use those. If you're doing it on your phone, there are all kinds of apps for it. And there are people out there in the world that I don't cover it, but there are people, lots of people out there who do. And you can find tutorials all over the place, for these things. So I hope that answered the question too. Jan said, thank goodness the bar has been lowered so beginners can jump in too. Well, Jan, we jumped in before it was lowered and we helped lower it. So you're welcome. But I don't think it's a lower bar so much as it is we're just getting real and casual with, real life, just recording real life. And people have just gotten used to seeing it, and the quality has changed so much now, even with the phone, that it doesn't look as bad as it used to. Or those sticks that take out the vibration and whatever, so it doesn't look like it used to, even doing it as informally as a phone or whatever. But
Well,
Denise, I mean,
and
it's about
also, I
this.
mean,
Go ahead.
video, I mean, like I was going through, I haven't explored everything in this phone yet, it's brand new, but there was a setting for video stabilization.
There you go.
It's built in.
Right. Yeah. Andrew's going, I'm going back through the comments here, which Denise is not seeing, but it's on Facebook. It says, Andrew says, Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither is a live streaming career. Now, Andrew is into this. As a matter of fact, Andrew is the one that showed me a lot about what Zoom can do with green screen and okay. He helped me because Andrew tries everything.
Oh, I love it.
Everything there is, he experiments, and he's once said, man, a green screen's not too hard, and that helped. This is not a green screen, this is actually a backdrop type thing, but I do have it, and I may have it in these live interviews at some time. But I got enough toys, I've got a lot going on here, guys. And for my first live one, I wanted to make sure we kept it simple enough, well, simple for me. So yeah, that's a really good statement there. Thank you, Andrew, because and y'all follow him. If you're looking on Facebook, it's Andrew Hatchett, and you really ought to follow because he tries everything and he's funny and he's fun. Jan saying lazy is definitely not Denise. I think all of us are trying to get things done and need technology to be easy. Yes. Easy's good.
Learn what
Jan's
you need to know and keep moving.
Yeah, and Jan, thank you so much. Said she signed up for the newsletter at Bloggate. Go over and visit Denise Waitman too, and follow her because she's got stuff for visibility and all this repurposing and new ideas and things on there every day. So make sure that you're following her at denisewaitman.com. It's right below her name there. Dennis is saying security of Zoom. been some consideration lately. So let's do talk about that just a minute. I mean, I don't want to ignore it by any means. They really beefed up what was going on. I mean, they just exploded overnight, and they were kind of a casual thing, and now businesses are using, so they hired who, they spent the money and hired who they needed to, right? And they're good now.
Zoom originally was a corporate solution. It was a direct competitor to WebEx. Mm-hmm. The founder of Zoom worked there for years, WebEx. Ah, so he wanted to have a, anyway, it's a long story, but it's interesting. But they weren't expecting just casual users. And with the stay at home life that we live now, those of us who were already staying at home, you know, that was, it was no big deal. But for the rest of us, they all, everybody realized they needed a tool and everybody went to Zoom. I don't know what sparked that, but probably because they were using it in their corporate environments because.
And free.
So anyway, yeah, and free. Yes, it's, they have a very easy entry point. Free.
Yeah.
And easy to use, that you don't need an account. You can send somebody a link that doesn't have an account and they can use Zoom. So Zoom exploded and they didn't expect that. But they have been addressing it since day one, you know, when the criticism started hitting and, you know, the hackers started trying to get in and Zoom bombing and all that. Like, I have used it for 5 years every single day and nobody ever Zoom bombed me.
Yeah, but we're not silly enough to share our links in the public either.
That's just what I was going to say. I have never shared a link in public. It's usually to people you know are going, like somebody who signed up for a class or somebody you were mentoring or consulting with. So Zoom has been all over the security issue. It has been changing almost daily. Every time I log in, there's more security in it. I have no issues with Zoom whatsoever because they are taking very seriously what's going on.
Exactly. And Jan's even saying, you know, the passwords and waiting room features and different things like that. Yeah, I mean, it's all there. You just got to turn it on and whatever. And so there's also, you have a personal meeting ID or you can have a dynamically generated ID. I never use my personal meeting room ID
because
you get one of those and you can't ever have another one. Never share that. I always have one dynamically generated and I never share it in public. Never had a problem. So, part of it too. It's kind of crazy.
When people are started saying, oh, what's this whole thing about Zoom bombing? I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I had no idea what they were referring to. It's like, I've never had that happen.
Right. Dennis is saying you can storyboard a video. I do it all the time for my videos on Heartwood Art. If y'all don't know, that's my woodworking site, and I'm going to go back to making art on it at some point when I get my the rest of my workshop built out. But I storyboard. I've even got a post on Blogaid for that about storyboarding specifically for video so I can tell a story. And I plan out what my shots are going to be and that kind of thing. Photojournalism is something a lot of people need to learn in their blogging too. But yeah, it makes a lot of difference. So that way I can even take still shots and do a voiceover. So I have this in-person intro and exit, but I'm just doing a voiceover with still shots. And that comes from storyboarding and thinking that through. So it's still my voice, Denise. You don't have to do everything talking head, do you?
No.
It's still your voice. No. And you, even your podcast. And people can't watch a video. A podcast is something they can do while they're driving or doing running or doing other things, right?
It's the power of voice. It's the power of image. It's the power of the eye-to-eye connection. That's why you can't be looking down. Like right now, I'm looking at Mayanna's image right now. Well,
right.
So I'm not looking at the camera.
Yeah, I'm looking at Denise.
But when you're looking at the camera, I'm getting used to it. That's what you get used to it, you know?
Right. Oh, Jan, thank you so much for putting up Denise's link. I appreciate that because I got a lot going on and I don't want to click around too much. Jamie's saying, can we watch a replay? It will be here on the Blogaid Facebook page. I will also have it up on Blogaid itself on this post. that was talking about it, and it will be on YouTube. So yes, it'll be everywhere. But and there will be a special podcast edition, you know. So I'm doing what Denise said do.
I might be sharing it too.
See? You know, and so yes, I mean I plan to do, and there are little tidbits in here of things that I can take that because I'm recording this in vMix, so that I have a really HD level thing, which Zoom, that's the other thing about Zoom, your recordings aren't in HD. They're still okay, mm-hmm. but they're not HD, and vMix gives me that, and I wanted it for having all this trouble of all this setup and whatever I need, because I teach, and I will be teaching even more video stuff. I need this level. Everybody else in the world doesn't need to go through all this, you know, and keep it really simple. Jan saying repurpose mania. Absolutely, you know. So there
Use
you go.
Use your phone. Use your phone.
Use
this
your phone.
Is the place to start with video, because your phone has video. If you have a smartphone, you've got a video.
Now, Denise, recorder. Let's talk about one other little thing here, and we're about to run out of time, but I just want to cover mm-hmm. this just a little bit. Me and you are a little different. I was on stage since I was little. I've been performing in front of people mm-hmm. since I was little. You're an introvert. I mean, you talk mm-hmm. about this and whatever. And the video thing, me, I'm just out there. I just, you know, I'm ready to go and whatever. But for you, it also helps with people. And you attract a lot of introverts because you talk about it in marketing for introverts and whatever. Mm-hmm. And video has been really good for you to be able to kind of control your environment and whatever, especially if you're going to be recording. But that self-awareness thing you get when you watch yourself and whatever, what I tell people is the best thing I know, because I do this, for those intros and outros on Heartwood Art or any of my other things, I literally, while I'm walking around the house or whatever, I'm rehearsing, I'm talking out loud. I mm-hmm. get used to hearing my voice talk. Before we came on this show, I actually rehearsed a little bit of what I was going to say in my hello introduction, just so I heard it come mm-hmm. out my mouth and, yeah, okay, that sounds all right, go with it. I'm not locked into that. But rehearsal goes a long way. Plus, getting used to talking to nothing. I'm not staring at you. I'm staring at my camera right now. And maybe just sit there and hold your phone in front of you and talk to it. Not even mm-hmm. recording. So what kinds of tips do you give people about that? Watching themselves, Iggy, and you know all that kind of stuff to be able to get over the hump here and do video?
I think that the most important thing to remember is that you may feel critical of yourself, but probably nobody else does. And once you embrace that, then it's easy to move forward with video. People want to see and connect with other people who are like them. You know, so you may not consider yourself to be a supermodel, not me. but you have something of value to share, whether it's inspiration or educating people about something or inspiring people. You have something to share and people want to hear that. So it doesn't matter what you look like or what you sound like. If you are genuine and authentic about your message, that's what people connect with. Nobody's going, wow, she's got like really, her hair's too long, she needs a haircut, you know, look at what she do, like, what is that, you know? Nobody's doing that. Think about your own behavior when you're watching other people's video. Are you critiquing how they sound and what they look like if they're right. delivering value? Now, you right. might be doing that if somebody's just doing fluff.
Right.
I've been guilty of that. I have right. like, what is that person doing? Why are they saying that? What's
yeah,
that behind
you're not
them?
Engaged.
Because I'm not engaged with their message.
Right.
So if you have, you know, are authentically, genuinely delivering a message in service of your audience, it doesn't matter what you
It really
like
doesn't matter. I'll tell you one of the things that got me over it, too, was when I saw Eileen Smith, who got into video early too, she came out of the gym, hair all up and stuff, sweat pouring down and whatever, and she had something to say, something inspired her. Well, if Miss Eileen Smith can come out and do that and get on video and it doesn't matter, then it doesn't matter. You know, and that was years ago, guys, and it really doesn't matter. And even on a recent video, I just sat there and messed up my hair like crazy and whatever, and I'll do it now. I don't care. You know, are you here for this? I mean, this is how much it doesn't matter. It's going to tickle me crazy, but there. But it doesn't matter. You don't care if I'm sitting here with my hair stuck. Well, if it's so radically distracting, I guess that would be a big deal. But what I'm saying is that's not why you're here. You didn't come here to see my hair or Denise's or what glasses she has on today, you know, or whatever, what clothes we have. You came here to hear some information that you can use for the betterment of your business. And that's what that is truly what it's all about. It really doesn't matter. So yeah. I got everybody in there laughing at us. So, and that's what it's for, you know, and I do that sometimes. I'll show up in a lot of times I'm blue collar, honey. I'll show up in a t-shirt. I'm very casual. And I'm just not doing the dress up business thing, whatever. And so I just keep it easy because I want to be real. And I talk about things that are, and I, Denise, you know, you've got people that maybe talk about things that are sensitive and whatever too sometimes, and there are things that, because you deal with a lot of coaches and whatever, so it's really important to be just calm. Don't be too, don't worry about being too fancy with it too, right?
Yeah, you got to be you, you know, and for a long time, I mean, for a long time, you know, my visual brand was me wearing a black suit and a pink top.
I remember.
And I did not put myself in front of a camera unless I was wearing at least a pink top. And because that was really an important part of my brand. And then when I changed over to Adventures in Visibility, which is about bringing adventure in, it was like, oop, get rid of those. And now of course, I want to be decent looking, but I often will wear a t-shirt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, if I'm trekking in the Andes and want to take a video of that, believe me, I don't look very good. But they're not there to see me. They want to see Machu Picchu, right? You know, so, you know, you need to create and be the persona that you feel the most comfortable being, that, you know, make sure it's not getting in the way of your message, and go for it and practice. I mean, you can shoot a video that nobody sees.
Right.
I've done that many times.
Yep. Yeah. You know, and some days the news is important and I got to get it out there. It doesn't really matter how I look or whatever, it's the news and here you go. And, and I think people appreciate the authentic, you know, being authentic and helping them and getting stuff there. But practice, you know, just walk around with your phone, walk around talking to nothing, just to get over that sensation of this feels weird. It won't feel weird anymore when you do it all the time. And if your family or your animals look at you like, who are you talking to? Don't worry about it. It's okay. Well, Denise, that's a great thing to end on. I really hope this has inspired everybody to get busy making videos, starting where you are, doing what you can do. Really short things like answering questions or whatever is a fantastic way to start. And just if nothing else, upload it to Facebook, upload it to YouTube, and let it be at that. You know, put it on, and get that link and put it on your blog. There you go.
Exactly. And you can also, like on Facebook, you can just post it to yourself to see how it will look too.
There you go.
And that's a great way to start, is just upload it to self, you know, whatever it's like, me only or whatever, that's the option. You know, you don't need to share it with the public. Just do it for yourself to see.
There you go. Denise, thank you. I just couldn't think of anybody that I wanted to share this moment more with the relaunch of Blogaid Live. Thank you so much for being in my life all these years. All of your adventures, some spirit, because you continually inspire me to find new ways to get more eyeballs and to take chances and risk and try something and have some fun. And I want to thank you for that.
Oh, well, you're most welcome. I'm inspired by you as well. I love the fact that you're doing every single week.
It's a big commitment.
That's great.
All right. Well, guys, please do check in on Blogaid. If you're not on the newsletter yet, be sure to opt in for that. And be sure to check at Blogaid Live. And I also live stream here every Tuesday night. And you can sign up You'll get Tips Tuesday, which is my weekly roundup of things, and I'll let you know I've got more interviews scheduled, and you're going to want to come to the site to see them and follow me here on the Bloggate Facebook page. Go over and follow. Listen, just type in Denise Waitman. You will find her name every flipping where, okay, and follow her everywhere that she is, too. Thank you so much, Denise.
Thank you, Mayanna. Take care, everybody.
Y'all have a good day.